We are in this sermon series where we're asking, how do we push away all the noise? There's so much noise in our lives, from our social media feeds to the things buzzing on our phones and our news and our, you know, all the things. How do we push all that back and actually hear from God? What does it look like to be people that listen to God? And Joey did a fantastic job last week bringing us the word and talking to us about how do we, if we don't carve out time, if we don't create time, we won't hear from God. Today, we're going to ask the question, does God speak? Does God actually speak directly to us? It's a good day to be together as a church. I'm so glad to be here. As I was driving back and forth between, there were text messages going from tech team to tech team, and they were saying, Kaz just cut out half these scriptures and didn't do the other half, and all those things happened, and by the time I got to the second service, it was already done. It was like magic, and got the third, and it just reminded me there are so many staff and volunteers in the background making church happen, that this is an incredible church family to be a part of, and I'm just so grateful for all the folks and all the teams, and for all the opportunities that we have, the missions that we get to be a part of. That Mexico trip is an incredible trip to go and really make an impact for people that need it and help them get water. And so I hope you check that out today and find out if there's a way that you can be involved in that. We have so many opportunities as a church, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be together, and I'm grateful that we get to sit together and open the scripture. So would you pray with me as we go into God's word? God, we give you thanks. Thanks that you would give us your scripture, and that's your word. And we want to be people of your word. So would you help us today as we read it together, as we listen to it, as we think about it? God, would you help us to make sense of it, to understand it, to grasp it? But more importantly, not just to grasp it, God, but I want to live it out. I want to do what your word calls me to do. So would you help us to be people whose lives are guided and impacted by your scripture? We pray this in your name. Amen. I was listening to a podcast of a guy who was talking about his call to a certain ministry, and he was taking a call, and he was like, should I take this or not? And he was praying, God, would you, I want you to tell me, should I take this job or not? And he prayed, God, if I'm going to take this job, I need a sign. And just as he prayed that prayer, the phone rang, and it was someone from the committee that was trying to hire him to talk to him, just as he prayed the prayer. It's like amazing. And personally, I have prayed that prayer, same prayer, so many times. God, if it's this, just give me a sign. And do you know how many signs God has given me? None. No one's ever called me when I prayed that prayer. The phone did not ring. I don't know. Does God speak that way? I mean, maybe sometimes to other people. But I wonder about, how does God speak to me? How does God speak to you? And it, what does that look like? Is that even biblical to say, you know, God speaks to us? I have a friend who, if you ask him, if you say, is God speaking to you right now? Is God speaking to you? He will say, yes, for sure. I have my Bible, and that's the way God speaks. So God has spoken. He's spoken through Scripture. And I get what he's saying. That's true. That's actually right. You know, if you want to hear from God, if you want to know what God cares about, if you want to know what God sets as a priority, if you want to know who God cares about and the direction that God's going, if you want to know about God's mission in the world, it's in Scripture, right? And so if you want to know the thoughts of God, he's given it to us. We call this Scripture revelation. We say God revealed this to us. It is very true that God spoke to us through the Scripture. And that Scripture even applies to today. And so in that way, he continues to speak to us through Scripture. That's a great thing. But I often wonder, you know, is there a little bit more? Like does God, I mean, yes, he's spoken to us through Scripture, but does God talk to us today? have this kind of longing that God would know my life and speak to me about my life and give me guidance, you know, in a very practical, personal way. Would God do that? Now, I get why my friend and people that believe like that, I get why they say that, you know, God spoke in Scripture and it is what it is. Because when we get outside of that, it can feel like sketchy ground, right? Because people can use and abuse that in all kinds of ways. They can say, God spoke to me. God told me to do this, so I did it. And we can go all kinds of directions with that. My uncle went to a small Christian college. And it's sort of a famous family story, family lore. He went to a small Christian college. He was dating a young woman who said to him, you know, she looked him in the eyes and she said, God told me we're supposed to get married. And he looked her deeply in the eyes and he said, well, God better tell me. He's not known as the kind, you know, the gentlest soul. They did not end up getting married, if you want to know the rest of the story. Does God speak that way? Or I know of a church that was fighting. You know, church, one of the most beautiful things about our church is that we don't get into fights over silly stuff like this. But I know of a church that was fighting over whether they would have a Coke machine in the church. You know, was it sinful or bad or not? Or I don't know what the fight was. It was just, do we have this Coke machine or not have this Coke machine? It was a giant fight. And I praise God every day that we're a congregation that cares about the mission and not stuff like Coke machines. But this church was fighting over a Coke machine. And as they fought over it, one of the leaders of the church came in to one of the important meetings and said, God has spoken to me. God told me Coke machine must go, right? That's it. Said, done. Decision made. And, you know, you look at that and you go, well, that, like, come on, right? You just want your way, and you're using God told me to get your way. And yet people are often sincere. So sometimes I question that even myself. Like, if I think God is speaking to me, would that be, you know, would that be right? Like, what do you do? And so one way is just to back off and say, nope, God only spoke through Scripture. That's it. That's all there is. But actually, as you look at Scripture, we've got lots of examples of God speaking to people throughout Scripture. In fact, as you go back to Genesis 1, right at the beginning, when God creates Adam and Eve and he puts them in the garden, when God does this, you know, that's a picture of the way God created us to be. It's a picture of things being set right. It's before the fall. It's before things get twisted and broken. And so when God puts Adam and Eve in the garden, he gives them work, and it's good work. And they're and it's a good thing. And that's a picture of the way we're wired, really. It's like how God wired us to live and interact. And one of the things that God gives us in that picture in the garden is that God in the evenings would walk with Adam and Eve. They would walk and talk. In fact, as you look at the relationship between Adam and Eve and God right at the beginning of Genesis, you see God interacting with and speaking with people. And so all of a sudden you start to see this picture like, oh, we're actually wired for that. Like that's how we were made right from the beginning. That's how God created us. In fact, when Adam and Eve fell, when they chose their way over God's way, and there was the fall, and they went and hid. They were in hiding, and the Scripture gives us this picture. It says they heard God's footsteps coming. They recognized God's footsteps. Now that's kind of a cool picture, right? They even recognize his footsteps. I was thinking I have this experience in my own home. You know, sometimes late at night, I will sneak down to the kitchen and steal the kids' candy, basically, right? I mean, let's just be honest. It was Easter recently, so we've got some good stuff right now. And there's good stuff hidden in a drawer down there. And I will hear footsteps. I'll be in the thick of it. You ever try to slice a little bit off the bunny so that they won't really notice, but you just get, and I will hear footsteps coming. Now, if those footsteps are one of my kids, like, I can deal with that. But my wife, Cammie, she's trying to help us all live a healthy life, you know? And she will just be so disappointed if she catches me there. And so I quickly hear the footsteps. I quickly hide all that stuff. I put it away. Because I can tell the difference. And I know her footsteps when she's coming towards the kitchen, right? I've learned that. See, because I know her. We spend so much time together. I actually recognize even what her footsteps sound like. That's the image that God gives us with Adam and Eve in the garden. Like they've spent so much time with God. They're walking with him and talking with him that they even recognize his footsteps. And then we get these pictures of God speaking to people all the way through Scripture. He speaks to Adam and Eve. He speaks to people all the way through Scripture, sometimes in really cool ways, right? Like for the Apostle Paul, he was Saul, and he was not an apostle. And he was persecuting Christians. And God shows up and knocks him down, and he's knocked down this bright light. And then this loud voice, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Man, that is a cool way to hear from God, you know? Sometimes I wish a big bright light would not. I'm like, "God, what do I do with this decision?" You know, and a big bright light knocks me down, and I hear a loud voice, "Kaz, Kaz." Now, I don't want to hear "why do you persecute me," but like, "here are the lottery numbers to play," you know, or whatever. I mean, that's the kind, you know, I want to hear from God, you know, very, very specifically. And wow, what if he spoke to me like he spoke to Paul? Or sometimes God sends angel, you know, and we see that a lot in Scripture. In fact, that word angel, that's just a direct translation. That word means messenger. That's the translation, 100%. That word angel just means messenger. God sends his messengers. We see that with, like, Mary and Joseph is a great example. God sends his messenger to tell them what's going to happen. It's real clear. They can hear, you know, they know what God has to say. And so there's just great clarity there. Or what about the burning bush, right? That's the story of Moses. And he's not even looking for God. He's not even trying to listen to God. He's just hiding. Things are not going well in Egypt, and he is hiding. And he stumbles upon this bush that is burning, and God speaks out of a burning bush. It's incredible. I have never heard God speak out of a burning bush, you know? I have had a burning bush, though, just the other day, actually. I was at home. It was a sunny day, and my neighbor comes frantically beating on the door, and she's like, "Your bush is on fire." And I was like, "That's weird." You know, I've not heard of that before. I went out around the side of the house, and, well, sure enough, the bush had spontaneously caught. It was actually a mulch fire, which I guess is a thing. Like, that happens. It just started on fire. And she looks at me, and she's like, "What should we do?" And I was like, "Take your shoes off." And she did not get it. And she did not think that was funny. That's what Moses was told to do when he said that. She didn't get it at all. That wasn't funny at all. Well, I was like, "That's all I got. I'm a pastor. I don't know what to do with burning bushes, you know, shoes off. I don't know." Nothing, no voice spoke out of that bush, but it was cool. I had not seen that before. God shows up in these, you know, in these incredible ways. And I'm always looking for them, and I always want God to show up in my life in those incredible ways, but really, that's not how it looks in my life very often. I haven't experienced some of those miraculous things. Sometimes I get clarity. But actually, as we look at Scripture, we see that God speaks in all kinds of ways. Now, I want you to look with me today at the story of Elijah. This is from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah was a prophet. It means he spoke God's truth to God's people, sometimes very hard truth. The people of Israel were worshiping other gods, and it was bad news. And Elijah went in with hard truth, and he kind of set the record straight. And he ended up, there was this incredible, miraculous moment where there was an altar, and there were the prophets of Baal. These are the other gods that were being worshipped. The prophets of Baal were saying their God was going to consume this altar with fire, and the one true God shows up with Elijah and consumes it. It's a miraculous thing, unbelievable. After that happens, though, where God shows up and shows that he is the one true God over all other gods, then Elijah hears that, you know, he's upset the powers that be in the nation, and they want to kill him. And so Elijah runs off. He's scared to death. Even though he just saw God work in this incredible way, he's scared to death. And there's this sort of process of God sending a messenger to him, and Elijah's like hiding, and it goes on for like 40 days. But essentially, the messenger comes to Elijah and says, "Hey, buddy, you need to take a nap, and here's a snack," right? And so that's a good way. God's just saying, like, sometimes it's just fight or flight, and you're in flight, and you just need to, like, and that's really, go back and read that. We don't have time to read the whole thing today, but God's like, here's a snack, and here's a nap, and, you know, just just bring it down. But the reality is Elijah next has to go do some other really hard things. He has to go anoint some people. It's going to be a really difficult, really tricky thing that he's going to do next, what God's calling him to do. And Elijah's, you know, not necessarily, he doesn't know what the right answer is. And so you get this story of him hearing from God about where to go and what to do next. And as God sends his messenger, then there's this little moment. And I'm going to pick it up. This is chapter 19, and we'll pick it up midway through verse 9. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came to him." "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "And he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.' And the Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." Some translations say, "a still, small voice." "And when Elijah heard it, he pulled a cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too.' And the Lord said to him, 'Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram.'" And it goes on. The text goes on. And go back and read that text. You know, God calls him to do some very, very hard things. But what I want us to pay attention to today and just kind of zoom in on is how Elijah heard from God. You know, I'm always looking for God in things like a violent wind. Now, I've heard of violent winds, but violent winds that split the mountains and break the rocks, that's a real wind. But he said that he recognized that God wasn't there. There was a fire and an earthquake, and not just that God wasn't speaking in those things, but he recognized that that's not where God was. And then after all the big stuff, all the big flashy things, there's this still small voice. And Elijah, he knew that's God speaking to him. And then we have this encounter where God speaks to him. In fact, God speaks to Elijah, and he speaks to people all the way through the scripture. So if God speaks, how do we hear it? What do we need to do? Well, the first thing is we need to learn to recognize God's voice, right? Elijah recognized this is the voice of God, not these other things. This is the voice of God. And so he recognized it. How do we do that? Well one was really helpful to understand, hey, scripture gives the boundary. God's voice is going to sound like God, right? He's going to have the priorities of God. And so if you think you're hearing from God, but it's not biblical, it's outside of what scripture would call you to do, it's outside of the priorities of God, then it's not God calling you, right? God gives us scripture as a boundary. He helps us to hear his voice through the scripture. And so we have two more sermons in this series, and one of those sermons will be, how do we hear God through scripture? But God's given us a scripture, and that does create a boundary. The other is that God's given us the people around us. He's given us the church, and God's given the Holy Spirit to the whole church that we might hear from God together and collectively. And so what this looks like is God's put people in your life around you that help you to discern God's call, that help you discern God's voice. And it's okay to say to the people around you, hey, would you help me with this? Would you pray for me with this? I think I'm hearing from God, but does this sound right to you? And if you have good friends that are willing to do that, sometimes they will look at you and say, you are off your rocker, right? Like, no, that's crazy. And other times they'll say, no, I see God calling you in that way, right? And so God's given us these kind of things that are helpful and healthy boundaries to say it needs to be according to Scripture. If it's out of line with Scripture, it's not from God. And then he's given us the church and people around us to say, to help us say, is this in line with God's call? But I want you to notice, I want you to notice what's going on though, as he recognizes this voice, because it's more than just he heard it and he followed it. It's really important that we get the idea that he recognized it, right? It's like that Genesis 1 thing. He hears the footsteps of God, and he knows the footsteps so well that he could recognize even those footsteps. He knows who's walking. Guys, this is huge. This is key. So often, I want to hear from God about a decision that I have to make. And so I'll go to God every once in a while, a couple times a week maybe, and say, God, would you speak to me about this? And I don't feel like I hear from God speaking directly about this. I will go to God and I'll say, God, I want you to, you know, I want you to kind of peel back the future. I want to see if this is where I'm supposed to go or if this is going to work out. I want to see that. I'll go to God and say that. But what we're invited into in Scripture is not just going to God and saying, God, would you speak to me about my decision? What we're invited by Scripture into is to have an intimate relationship with God. And those are kind of different things. Like the picture in Genesis is of this intimate relationship, this walking and talking and conversation. It's this daily relationship. Elijah could recognize God's voice because of the time that he spent with God. I don't really know of any relationships where there's no interaction except for just every couple of weeks someone says, all right, tell me the next thing to do, and you go and you just tell them what they're supposed to do, right? And then that's your whole interaction. They just go back to their room. Maybe teenagers. Some of you have teenagers. You're like, okay, it feels like that. Not really, though. They're not asking what they're supposed to do, so maybe that's different. Anyhow, so that's not a relationship. That's something completely different. And yet that's how I approach God. And when I want to hear from God, I go just, hey, God, tell me the next step, and then I'll see you in a couple weeks or whatever, right? And that's not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is walking and talking. It's to interact. The biblical picture is a conversation. Like the psalmist, where the psalmist talk to God and they say, oh God, I can't believe this is going on. This is terrible. Why would you do this? And they just kind of rail against God. And the psalmist also gets quiet and just listens. But what you see with the psalmist is they do it morning and night. It's an everyday thing. What you've been invited into is a daily walk with the God of the universe. It's a relationship. And as you engage in that relationship, you start to converse with the Father. And as you do, you begin to hear his voice. And so often if I say, well, I'm not hearing from God, it's because I'm looking for the wrong thing. So you're not hearing from God. I'm saying, well, God's not telling me what I want to know when I want to know it. When I just show up and say, tell me the future, is that going to work out or not? When really what God said is, walk with me every day. Get to know me. Let's discuss this together. That's what the biblical model looks like. So sometimes, if you're having a conversation with God, sometimes God does give you clear next steps. God does say, hey, here's the thing to do. And there are some times when God does show up in burning bushes. Maybe you have a burning bush story. And sometimes the phone does ring exactly when you're asking the right question. And sometimes God does go, knucklehead, I know you need this answer, even though you're not looking for it. And he just gives it to you. But more often than not, God speaks in this still, small voice. It's the voice of conversation. God will give you sometimes clear signs, a picture of what you should do. Other times, God says, you decide. Other times, God says, you know, I've given you the resources and I've given you the creativity. I've put people around you. You decide. Sometimes God, in the conversations, we're talking with God about what to do and we want to listen to God. Sometimes God says, I'm going to reframe the picture for you. I'll help you see it with a new view, in new light. I'll help you see that person in a new way, but then you've got to carry it out. You've got a choice to make. That's frustrating, right? Because I just want God to tell me the next step. And God says, I've given you creativity. I've put it in you. Here are my priorities. And sometimes the thing that God says is, I'll be with you. It's not the answer I was hoping for. It's just, I'm here. I won't forsake you. That's a promise from Scripture. God just says, I'll be with you. You know, as a church, we've been talking about for the last, we're really for our elders, right? We've been talking about for the last several months, what's God's next call for us as a church? And we talked about that a little bit at the beginning of this school year, where we headed. We did this process in Arlington, and that's really amazing. It's exciting to see the way that God's at work on that campus, and it's just some great renewal and new folks every week. It's exciting. And we started to ask the question, well, what do we do in Cordova, right? How do we live out the mission that God's called us here? What does that look like? And we said, we know the priorities that God's given us. We're the church that knocks on every door, right? We're the church that'll do anything for the next generation. We're the church that'll take a risk. We're the church that cares about the community more than we even care about our own comfort. And so what does that look like now? And we've been talking about that and praying about that together as elders. And somebody said to me several weeks ago, they said, Kaz, has God given you the vision for what we're supposed to do next? And I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to have that. And my answer was, God's given me really good questions. That did not feel good to say. It doesn't feel good to say right now. God's given me really good questions. But this next step. Now, we've done this process together with the elders, and what I want you to do is to be praying for our elders. We're walking through this right now. Where's God taking us next as a church? And we have incredible elders, just godly, wise leaders, and be praying for them as we do this, for us as a church. And as we've done this together as a church, we have real clarity. I have this real sense of clarity from God. There are some hard, difficult questions. There are good questions, important questions. And you know what else? God's given us real clarity around, there's some incredible opportunities. Like, this is a wonderful church. We have resources, and there's a heart, and we have all kinds of opportunities. There's so many opportunities, and God's given us clarity on great opportunities and clarity on great questions. But which one? I think God's calling us to figure it out, step out in faith. And we're in this process, and we're kind of solidifying it. And as the months go by, we'll come back and report to you. And I just know it's exciting, but I don't know exactly what, right? And so the question is, well, does that mean that God didn't speak to you? Absolutely not, right? God's speaking. He's in the process of speaking. Sometimes God gives good questions. Sometimes God gives you some insight. But God continues to speak. It's actually a beautiful thing to do this with a group of elders to say, hey, we're going to be the church together, and we're going to live out this mission together. Let's listen for God's voice as a community. Sometimes that's a way that God speaks. My question for you is this. Do you want to hear from God? Because if you do, you may be looking in the wrong places. When I say, at least, I want to hear from God, I start looking for burning bushes and earthquakes and mighty winds that break rocks. Instead of in an everyday relationship, going to him with the mundane, listening to him in the small things. I ran out of time for the last passage in every service. And I thought this one I'd be faster, but it didn't work out. So there's one more passage I wanted to get to, and some other time we'll go there. But there's this place where Jesus is talking to a group of people, and they say, how will they know it's your voice? And Jesus says, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Right? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Why? They spend so much time with the shepherd. It's the everyday thing with the shepherd. So that when the shepherd calls, they hear it, they recognize, and they go. If we want to listen and hear from God, maybe instead of praying, God, make the phone ring with the answer right now, what we need to do is practice being sheep. That's really the call. Would you pray with me? God, I long to be in relationship with you. I long for that relationship like Adam and Eve before the fall, where they walked and talked with you. God, would you help me to do that? God, would you help me to carve out the space and the time, but also just the recognition? Like Paul says, praying without ceasing. God, would you help me to be in a conversation with you as a without ceasing type conversation? This is what we long for, God, that we might know you and hear you and recognize when you speak to us. We pray all of these things in your holy name. Amen.